Hello, I'm Glenn Brooks, Vibrant Living, and I'm so happy to have with us Scott Patterson today for this. You know, I've been doing this show on sobs, the sob community, and travel for over 15 years. And just this week, I talked to so many people from New York to California, and I mentioned sob, and so many people say to me, and I want to introduce my co-host, my producer, who's awesome. She's amazing, curious, responsive. She's with us today, Rose Rivera.
Hi, Rose, thank you.
Hey. So in a moment, we'll introduce Scott. I just want to say, Rose, this last week, I mentioned the sob to people. And what's interesting is people don't just see it as a car. They really see it as kind of a very distinctive innovation of the kind of car that it is, that it was, that people would, to this day, by the way, Rose, there's people who wouldn't buy any other car. To this day,
mm-hmm.
What came to me was I was in Vermont. I was in northern Vermont. I was sitting at a Top Notch in Stowe, and the waiter came over. He saw I had a Saab, and I get this a fair amount. You know, like maybe I'd say every few months someone tells me something about a Saab, or they knew someone had a Saab, or it's usually an incredible safety story where someone crashed into a pulp, they walked away because one of the safest cars on the planet. But that really reflected the whole mentality of Saab. The whole mentality of Saab was really this caring community of people who built a car that was not just meant to last, but it was really meant to accommodate the human body. It meant, you know, they started out with four cylinders. That was their primary engine. They built a turbo. They already had a green thinking way ahead of the curve. But I was in Vermont, and this guy came over to me. And because I was somewhat in moose country, you know, some of the in northern Vermont and in Maine. And he says, you know, Saab's the only car, he said this to me, Saab's the only car that the roof is probably strong enough to withstand a moose, which is incredibly uncommon. He told me the story about this guy at Saab who, I guess it was a reindeer, he had a big deer, and he died. And the whole crew, you know, at Saab dedicated to building this roof so it was even safer and stable. And that was kind of the mentality. And that was the mentality, by the way, that I found in not just Saab mechanics around the country, but owners. As an example, there's a guy in Connecticut, known this, I think he's called the Saab Guru, the Saab Master. Someone told me he drove 100 miles to see them when their Saab broke down. So there was something about this community of people, the longevity of the engine, the body. And I keep reading it. I was reading a review on the Vegan, an older Saab car, and I just keep seeing it. It's kind of like there's a mystique, there's this thing. To this day, people say, oh, that was a car. So, Scott, here you are at Saab that, you know, one of the first on the Internet with one of the biggest communities on independent Saab owners. There's such a sense of community. It's a place where people could go and find all kinds of things, make connections, discover little hidden things that, you know, go on with Saabs. So, first of all, I want to welcome you again. It's an honor working with you. And I want to just say that Saab.net, because of the quality of people on there, has been the place that I almost exclusively have gotten my Saab. So I want to thank you for providing such a great resource and community of people around to this day. Still, I feel one of the most intelligent, creative cars and community people I've ever met. So thank you for doing what you did, by the way.
Well, thanks very much. That's a very kind introduction. And, Saab.net was born in 1988 on the Internet before the web was around. It was just a mailing list and eventually became a website. And the focus, if you're on the homepage, it says that the focus is on friendly and respectful discourse, you know, respect between the owners that are on the site. And that's what you have. It's just a friendly group of people. And I know you refer to the classifieds, which are very active. People who put their cars for sale on there, they know what they're selling. They know Saabs, and the people who are looking for cars are Saabers. And it's a good connect because, you know, people know what they're looking for. They know what they're asking for, and they appreciate owners who have taken care of their cars know about them.
You know, Rose, my first Saab, I had been a real Volvo guy, and then I got my first Saab, and I don't know what it was. I know what it was. When I was the first co-op, the first food co-op I ever joined, there was a member there named George, And George would go to the city in this Saab. It was a an older Saab. So I'm probably forget, maybe it was a Sonet. It was an older Saab, and it was an old Saab. But I had such great memories of being in this car that felt like this very mobile, agile, but it had this feeling of being in a tank. The gas mileage, which is incredible,
mm-hmm.
had all kinds of room to fill. And it was like, I think that the mystique of the Saab was transferred from George to me because I was just fascinated by it. I was fascinated by this engine that was so efficient, so quiet, so, you know, it was different than all my friends. My friends were really into Camaros and Pontiacs at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so into this, the people. So early on, I want to say, when I first had my first Saab, we would wave to each other at every light. I mean, that was the feeling. The feeling was, there was a certain feeling in this community of people. And basically every independent mechanic, and by the way, Saabnet is an amazing source of independent mechanics. So I still call him to this day, whether it's Walter at the Right Solution in L.A., and I'm like, hey, it's Glenn, I have this situation. And they pick up the phone, and we, all around the country, I have this kind of relationship with the Saab folks, the Saab mechanics. And, you know, it's just funny. I so love it. It's even to this day, Rose, I'm fascinated by this community of people. And I'm kind of wondering when I go to a new car what it's going to be and how it's going to be. I like it to be similar. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, just to interrupt,
yeah.
It's not an uncommon thing. I had a Saab mechanic out here that I love going to, and my Saab wouldn't start. It's sitting in my driveway, wouldn't start. I got a ride from my wife, who was then my girlfriend, over to my Saab mechanic and told him what was going on. And he dropped everything, and he said, "Let's give me a ride." He brought a few things with him. He knew just from my description, he knew what he thought was wrong with it. He came. He was exactly right. He replaced the ignition module. My car started right up, and we went back to his shop. So yeah, these Saab mechanics, they love these cars, and they go out of their way to help Saab owners.
Well, I want to say I was driving on the highway. I was driving on 91 towards Connecticut, and I heard this rattling sound. So Walter at the Right Solution, he's in L.A., he's got such a great voice, and he's the kind of guy you could call and ask him anything, and he'll totally tune into it. So I told him what it was, and he says, "Glenn, right now you need to pull over. No one tightened your lug nuts on your wheels," just from the description of the sound.
Wow.
So, of course, he saved my life. So I'm still loyal to Walter after that life-saving incident. So, you know, I think what's really interesting in today's times, I think that more and more people, you know, I think with anything, they want a sense of community. They want a sense of that the company's there, that there's some kind of – and maybe that's another thing I can think of, Rose and Scott, is that the feeling was that there was a caring – and an innovation transferred to you, and that kind of, you know, because people always talk about the mindset of Saab drivers, and then, you know, if you go to Saab, Scott talks about, you know, who they are, you know, how they
mm-hmm.
were schooled, like who are these people, and I really think it's a community of people that really, they don't kind of brag about anything, they kind of like, I don't know, they quietly like innovation, they're fascinated by this car that was modeled after planes, and I mean, I can tell you, Rose, it's been so much fun. I got to so many of these mechanics. Now, Chris, who was supposed to be with us today, he's got a situation up in Vermont, in Dorset, Vermont, Riven Saab. Let me give out Scott's number. I mean, get out Chris's number. I just referred someone in New York who actually was on Saabnet who needed a head gasket, and he told me he saved money with Chris, but it was like the job. Chris, he does great work. He's going up to this Vermont location. It's very beautiful, and he's got an NPR in the background. And I've often had some great chats with him. And it's funny that. So I just want to say to everybody who's listening, this program, I really want to, your stories about Saabs, how you got into Saabs, if it's your first Saab. I know this, by the way. This has been confirmed again and again to me that the mechanics that I know who work on BMWs and Mercedes and work on Saabs say, and we're dedicating this part of the series to the 9.5, the legendary 9.5, that the 9.5 is probably one of the best is the best European driving luxury car when taken care of. There's nothing like it for the price.
Hmm.
So the 9.5 is it's just an amazing car. The key thing is, and I was going to ask Chris about this. I mean, Scott, you could comment. Just to really get it taken care of by someone who knows about the, you know, places to get parts and source things, and because it really requires some attention. It's because it's this really fine-tuned car. Like, I just got Chris do my fix all my oil leaks, which is fantastic. And I feel like I'm not a polluter, and I'm just so happy I'm not adding oil. I didn't feel good about that. So I'm going to give you Chris's number. You guys, you're in the Northeast. This guy's worth the trip. He's really the real deal. Over at Riven Saab, I'm just going to get his phone number. Because one of the big things in the Saab community is, who do you go to? Who do you go to? Chris, what would you say? I'm sorry, Scott. What would you say about that in your experience? People are wondering how they know a good Saab mechanic.
Well, I just think, it's the fact that they are a Saab mechanic and that they have experience with a Saab. I mean, you can take your car to any car repair shop, and a Saab mechanic doesn't have to pull out a manual and look up a problem, because they've already experienced just about every problem that could happen on a Saab, and they know how to diagnose it correctly and fix it in the shortest amount of time. In fact, there is a section on Saabnet.com. In the frequently asked questions or facts section, which lists independent Saab mechanics. It's the mechanics and service section. It also lists some official Saab service centers. But yeah, it's important. Like you're talking about Chris at Risen Saab, and he is a Saab technician. He knows Saabs. He's been trained to work on Saabs. He has the tools like the Tech 2 for the Saab that will give him codes for the modern Saab so that he can diagnose problems properly and quickly and get them fixed.
I'm going to give out his number. It's 802, and it's R-I-Z-Z-O-N, R-I-Z-Z-O-N. It's not uncommon, Rose, for me to go there. Okay, last time I went there, I met a dog breeder, and we hung out like an hour. The way it works is Chris works on your car until it's done. Everybody else just kind of, patiently waits in this very good spirit. His number is 802-325-3827, 802-325-3827. It's a beautiful part of Vermont. It's right down the block from Manchester, which is a beautiful little town, beautiful hiking trails, big ski mountain over there.
Yeah, I just mentioned that he is listed. He's one of the Saab mechanics that is listed on Saabnet, the service center, in the service section. And his website address is www.risen, that's R-I-Z-Z-O-N, risensaabrepair.com.
We're dedicating the show to Chris today. He's one of these people that, it's funny. So last time I was there, he was fixing something. That's what I love about this guy. And his wife, she's this amazing garden. So I got to remember when I go there, I got to remind myself, no matter where I am in the garden, I always seem to startle her. So we were joking last time, I should wear a cowbell or something. But I hang out in the garden. This ain't no city shop. This is way out in the beautiful country. And I was talking to her, that I went back, and Chris, he strung this big leak. He was fixing one leak, and another whole leak occurred. And what I really appreciated, the lesson I learned from him that day, was he hung in there with it till it was done. Like, there's something about this guy, like, I really appreciate what I learned from Chris is that when you get into something, just stay with it. Because I could just see, like, I was thinking, of course, I compared him to an oral surgeon. He just gets in there, and he stays, because it's almost like he knows the cars well enough. So it's one of those things. Hey, Rose, just out of curiosity, has the Saab phenomena, the people, the cars, is that something that ever caught your attention? What's your take on it? Just curious.
Yeah, sure. I was actually going to ask you guys if, for people like me who aren't very familiar with Saabs, if you could give a brief history of the company. I know you mentioned it was modeled after planes, I think, which is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd love to hear just how the company came about and where it is now.
That's a great question. Scott.
Yeah, well, it wasn't originally an airplane company. In fact, and it still is, and even as the car company was in business, they were also in the aerospace business, building planes for Sweden's Air Force. But, a branch broke off, and they decided to build cars. And they did certain things that made sense for, like, a pilot that would also, they thought, made sense for driving a car. For example, one of the different things on many of the Saabs is that the ignition is in between the seats, not on the steering column. And the reason that they did that is, modeled after a pilot where you want to have the controls in the most sensible area, the idea is that you would fasten your seatbelt. Your hand is already down there. You'd reach down to the ignition. You'd turn on your car. Your hand is already down there, and you would release the emergency brake, which is down there too. And the other thing is that it cut down on a common injury in car crashes, which is having your knee, kneecap crash into the key in the the ignition in the steering column that was eliminated since the key was down in between the seats. That's why they kind of they called it a very the most intelligent car built, because they did things like that that were innovative and new and that nobody had thought of. Everybody put the key on the ignition. You know why? Because it had always been there. Well, it didn't have to always be there. And thought about those things. And like earlier, we were talking about what Saab did with the move. They did the Moose test crash because they wanted to make sure that the A pillars on that car were strong enough to withstand crashing into a moose and not having that kill the front, the passenger or the driver. And so that was part of the testing of every Saab for a long, when they started, all the way through to the end, to save lives and make it one of the safest, if not the safest car on the road.
I wanted to add that, that was one of the things, by the way, Rose, when I would go to Saab places, I think that Saab mechanics, there were just some beautiful stories about the first car that I drove was a 900, and that was back in the 90s. And the stories that I heard, I don't know why, were just amazing. People, would talk about driving this car over an embankment, and, no matter what happened, people would walk away. And I guess I had gotten used to that from Volvo. And the Swedes just seem to have a community mentality. They have a very environmental mentality. And I think the distinction when I got into my first Saab is that it was just such a fun car to drive. I want to mention Jim Easton, and I want to mention the last time how I got my last Saab, being the only person on the planet that does this format on Saabs. I want you guys to consider donating to keep this format alive. And if you have a story about your Saab or about something that, you want to share with people, please email me at Glenn, G-L-E-N-N, .vibrantliving@gmail.com. That's Glenn, G-L-E, Glenn.vibrantliving@gmail.com. We're going to go to television next week so we could actually show your Saab. And I'm also going to give away vacations now and again because I am the man that gets paid to go on vacation, which is kind of part of my Saab lifestyle, by the way. And if you haven't been to Vermont and driven your Saab there, it's out in oh, my God, it's mind-blowingly beautiful there. All right, James Easton, I want to give a shout-out, acknowledge James today. He's in Rochester. By the way, what's the abbreviation for MI? What is MI? What is that abbreviation?
Michigan.
Yeah.
Thank you. I was going to say, okay, Michigan. He's in Michigan. And just like many, many people I've met on Saabnet, he's the original owner of an Arrow. So Arrow is similar to the special... What is STP? That's not the STP. The
SPG.
SPG. Thank you, Scott. It was in a special car for performance and luxury and a legendary seat. The legend has it, by the way. There's no comfortable seats are better for your back than the Arrow, which I've sat in Arrows. And so the last time I did a feature, I got my car, which is sitting in the driveway. And how I did this, because Scott was on the show. I called this guy in Kansas, and we became really friendly. He was another Saab fanatic, by the way. It's like family talking to him. He immediately told me all the places that he had repaired. Oh, by the way, when you call someone, especially the original owners, usually they know exactly where it's been repaired, and it's these engines are pretty bulletproof when they're taken care of. So he told me about his mechanic, and his mechanic worked out of a cave in Kansas. Long story short, the mechanic got on board. We had him on the show. We got a towing company, a transport company, and they got involved. And I had this car transported from Kansas, and we told the story. And that's what we're going to do with my next Saab, which is going to be a 2000 Arrow in mint condition. I like the color of it. It's a midnight blue. So James, I told James we were going to mention it on the air today because James, he knows every single thing about this car. It's 112,000 miles. So here's the thing when buying a Saab. You just really want to know that the mechanic, and again, you know, if you go to Saabnet or you go to someone who's an independent or someone who's committed to Saab, I guess there's a few dealers left who still service the Saab. But these cars, they're just, you'll know when you get in one. Have you ever driven in a Saab, Rose?
I have, actually. My first husband had a Saab.
Okay. First husband had a Saab. How did you like it?
I don't remember it that well, to be honest,
okay.
But
okay.
I do remember that his family, they were, like, all about Saabs.
Right.
So they understood something about this car that,
right.
At the time, I was young. I didn't really, wasn't
right.
That interested in the car.
You know what's funny is there's people I've mentioned this to. And it's very similar. They'll say, well, yeah, we were Saab people. They, like, there's a certain, you know what's funny? No one's written a book on this. We've got to write a book called The Saab Effect or The Saab Mindset. Because it's one of those kind of things that, like this woman said to me yesterday, they were great cars, this chiropractor from the city. So James is going to be my next, we're going to get this car from James. We're going to have so we're going to talk to people about getting a car that doesn't have any rust, or minimal, you know, weather damage. Let's say you see one, you could easily have it transported, and I'll be working with the local Saab people in Michigan, in Rochester, where he is. And he's at a car show today. I actually invited him to come on. And so part of what I love doing on all my shows, I love building community and connections because that's really what it's about. It's really about building connections, community. You know, those are the things. I mean, those are the things that matter the most, really. Whether it's your dentist, you know, and I know that, and I think early on that's what I liked about Saab. I somehow felt kind of like something about that company and the mentality just kind of got through.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just interrupt you, Rose. Yeah.
I just want to say, you know, Rose's husband had a Saab, and that's how she got introduced. My girlfriend, her father had been buying Saabs, my first two cars were Volkswagens, and I was looking for my third car. I was looking for a Volkswagen, and my girlfriend, who was driving a Saab, her father's Saab, convinced me to go look at a Saab, and that began my whole Saab journey.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife, from the age of 16 when she got her driver's license to today, has only ever driven Saabs her whole life.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, she's got me looking for, and she's looking for a model 2010 or 2011 because she wants to continue to drive Saabs as long as she possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's her father's has two Saabs currently. They're a Saab family. Her sister has driven Saabs. She has a Saab 9.5 right now, like we're talking about. She absolutely loves her Saab 9.5.
Yeah, so I don't know. Here's the thing. I still love it. I still, I guess it's just one of, I guess what it is, I realized at one point that Saabs will always be in my life in some way, and I'm kind of dedicated to getting the message out. Chris, are you there? I thought, I see
this is Dr. Gabrielle.
Yeah, thank you. Hold on one second, Dr. Gabrielle. I'm glad you're there. Yeah,
yeah.
You know, so what I want to do is I want to leave you guys with my email address. If you have a story or you want to contribute to our ongoing series, be an underwriter, or just donate, or you have an idea for a show, please be in touch with me, Glenn, G-L-E-N-N, .vibrantliving@gmail.com. That's Glenn, G-L-E-N-N, .vibrantliving@gmail.com. I like your stories. And if you're a mechanic, or you had an amazing story around the Saab, or you're a history buff and you know more about some of the things about the company, the vision, I'd love to hear from you. And I told many people, Scott, that this is going to post this week on Saabna for people to listen to it. So
yeah,
Rose will send you the copy of this.
Yeah, the website address is saabnet.com. SAABNET.com.
All right. Well, I want to thank you very much, Scott, saabnet.com. Hey, everybody, I shout out to you. I want to say it's been an honor and a pleasure working with Scott all these years and all the people who have kept me thriving as a Saab driver. They're out there. They're wonderful. We'll be with you next week. I'm Glenn Brooks. Stay with us on the Vibrant Living Radio and Television Network. Stay tuned.